the one great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to whom they had regard, because that for a long time he had bewitched them with his sorcery. So here we see Simon coming here, a man named Simon, and his name means hearkening, hearing, and he's a sorcerer. And we see some things about Simon. He exalted himself, another term, giving out to himself or some great one. And he used sorcery, and he bewitched them, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. In other words, he exalted himself, and now he accepts worship. You know, he is this man, that Simon, who they're speaking of here. And to him, that is Simon, they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So you see quite a record here. Simon, he figures, you know, he's, we think of bewitching here, and we might, in Galatians, we think of bewitching, and sometimes we think, you know, of demons and all that. But also over in Galatians 3, 1 and 5, Paul writes to some that would bewitch Christians here. And shall we just come over here? Galatians 3, verses 1, he says, and Paul writes in Galatians, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? And so you see these Judaizers come down, and they would bewitching those Galatian saints here with, you know, telling them that they would now had to be keep the law to be saved and forsaking, you know, the grace way. Well, that is legalism, is bewitching here, just as surely as Simon the sorcerer used sorcery. And let's go back to verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which was done. So here we see here that they which believed Philip preaching the things, they were believed and they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon, he saw that, you know, saw what was going on, but he also, it says, believed and was baptized. But this, I don't, no way, I think as we read on here, can we say that Simon was saved, though he was baptized. Because, notice we see, why wasn't he baptized in verse 12? He didn't wait to see, he waited and seen what happened, then he himself joined, and he joined himself to them. And we'll go on a little bit more about it. Now, we got a little rendition here, though. We go into a different scenario here just a little bit here. Now, when the apostles in verse 13, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he has fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, we say, why did Peter and John come down to Jerusalem, you know? Well, they come down that they might give, you know, for them to the brother there in Samaria to receive the Holy Ghost, to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. Now, I think to some of our brethren, you know, some people say that, you know, well, when you're saved, you receive the Holy Ghost. Well, these brothers were. They certainly weren't. They were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. And they had not yet received the Holy Ghost until the apostles came down and laid their hands on them and prayed. And they received the Holy Ghost. So that would surely blow that out of the water. It should. Also, there's a need here because they have power in their lives and their witness. They needed the Holy Ghost. Also, Peter and John, we remember in Matthew 16:19, where Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. And we're going to see Peter unlocking the gospel. He's the one that has keys, the keys, and we see him doing that in Cornelius to the Gentiles. Now, let's go on here. So, then they laid their hands on them, verse 17, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So we begin to see that Simon, he was baptized, but he was certainly, he was one of those that was went in down into the water of a sinner and come up the same way. He wasn't, you know, there was no person. He just went through the ritual, through the ordinance. Now, I think here was, we might ask this, so why wasn't Simon filled with the rest of them? Well, probably because he wasn't saved. You know, he sought to buy the blessing with money. In other words, you know, we realize that the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. It says, you know, that's what it says over in Acts chapter 2, that it's the gift of God. God gives the Holy Spirit. And when, you know, when man thinks he can buy it through favor, or it doesn't have to be money, it can be a lot of service or a whole lot of other things, we cannot buy the gifts of God. God will not have that, no way. It's a free gift. They're very costly, but they're free to us. And so Simon here, he thought he could, you know, buy the gifts of God. That's what Peter said to him. And Peter says in verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. In other words, he's telling Simon he has no portion in the things of God. He has nothing. And the reason is because thy heart is not right in the sight of God. In other words, he was still an unregenerate. He was still a sinner. His heart was not right in the sight of God. And the only way our heart is right is when we receive Christ as our Savior. Now, what did Peter tell him to do? Verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps he bethought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. I think we see here that Simon again, he didn't really come with, you know, asking God to forgive him for the thought of his heart. But he said, you know, pray that, you know, that I don't get punished. You know, that's all he was saying. That none of these things which you've spoken unto me. In other words, he just didn't want to bear the consequences. So we see a lot of in that. He's still in bondage to the flesh and to the he's a sorcerer. He was just, again, seeking another, more power to be in charge over the people. And there's still people in that way today. Jude writes of them, you know, that they crept in unawares. Well, anyhow, we see that he was in the bond of iniquity. The gall of bitterness in the bond of iniquity. Well, let's see what I have in my notes. And verse 25, we go on, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, then preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now we begin to see that God begins to, up to this time, we've seen the gospel going through the multitude, 3,000 one day, 5,000 another time, and multitudes accepting the Lord. And now it seems to be individual ministries, that one-on-one, Philip going again to one man, and going there under the guidance and the leading of the Holy Ghost. And so Philip now going there, a divine direction, and to just an individual. And to this Enoch. And notice something, this Enoch though. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And so that shows us a little bit about him. He's hungry for the Lord. he's willing to be filled. He's coming there. And in verse 28, of course, there's another one there about this Ethiopian. He's of the line of Ham. We know of Enoch, the Enoch. The Ethiopian means black. I don't know about that. My nose might be right. But anyway, he was of the line of Ham. And the gospel, again, going to all people. And verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip went thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so here again, we see the man reading the scriptures. He's willing us to be fed. And of course, Philip going there and asking him a question, you know, does he understand what he's reading? What he was reading. And of course, he said, you know, he desired some teaching here to come up and explain it. Willingness, again, to be fed. In verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and he like a lamb dumb before her shearer. His shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom thou speakest, the prophet, this, or of himself, or of some other man? So here again, he's reading the scripture, and it's the word of God going forth, and it again, it's quoted from Isaiah. And it's Christ that he's saying. The eunuch, he asked himself, who is he speaking of here in the scripture, the question. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And of course, in that message, we're not really given the message in detail here. But certainly there was more than just that. It was before Jesus, the fulfillment of the scripture. Jesus, the lamb that was led to the shearer. Jesus, the fulfillment of this. Speaking of Jesus, death on the cross, the answer. And of course that, we're not given again the details. Well, in verse 36, we see God reveals himself to those who are hungry for the truth, and he always has, and he still does. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Then Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's the statement, but in that statement, you know, the complete message of redemption, Jesus, the Son of God, who fulfills all that redemption, the complete message, his death, burial, and resurrection, far more than just a statement that Jesus is the Son of God, I'm sure, and what it all entitled and, you know, unfolded. So again, notice the qualifications to be baptized. You know, he didn't have to learn a catechism or recite a whole bunch of stuff, but just believe with all thine heart. And of course, what does that tell us, sir? He was saved before he was baptized because his heart was right with God. You know, he would receive. You see, we remember Simon, his heart was not right with God. But he says, if thou believest with all thine heart, and that tells again he's had an experience with the Lord coming into his heart, the new heart put in, the new life, the new spirit within. And so he was converted here, and he accepted this, what the Philip's witnessing. He accepted Christ, and the only thing that hinders to be baptized is unbelief, really. If you believe, and if one believes, then be baptized. Well, verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So again, we see here that God, again, revealing and satisfying the hungry heart. And I believe that. I think we're all here because God has been very faithful to bring us into the truth. It's because of hearts, and it's because of the thirst and the hunger. It's just God's leading. I really thank him for that. Well, And he commended the churches and went down a lot of both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So Philip, here we see going down both into the water, and I think that's a good symbol, instruction for us in baptism, is to go down into the water and be baptized. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So we see here the transportation, the Holy Spirit giving transportation here, because he carried Philip away, caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, we'll find Philip stays here at Caesarea, and we won't see him for 20 years on down the road. So he stays here at Caesarea, and he had a family, because we see him, and he had daughters which did prophesy. So we'll see Philip later on, about 20 years in time on the book of Acts. We see in verse 39 that one thing, you know, that Philip didn't stay and receive any glory. God just caught him away. And, of course, all the glory is in unto God. And, again, it's proof of the Spirit's leading. I think we can see this kind of transportation. I think of Elijah in 1 Kings 18, where he was in 11 and 12, where, you know, Elijah was transported about like that. Again, speaking of the Spirit and power that Elijah was transported with. The same Spirit that was in Philip, that caught away Philip. We see the two witnesses also in Revelation 11, 1 to 13. That same power of the Spirit. And I guess that will be it for tonight in that chapter. Next week we'll go into some a little more. God's really dealing more and more with toward the Gentiles and the gospel going far and north.